So they call me BSAP, Papa BSAP. So my voice is a little bit shot this morning. Let me tell you why. It's not the normal raspy that it is. But last night, Blake and Jordan, I don't know if Jordan's here or not, he was pretty wasted, tired from last night. The wildfires.
He wasn't wasted.
That's a figure of speech. He wasn't. Gotta watch this crowd, man. You gotta be careful what you say. They did a benefit concert last night. They came back together. They broke up back in, I don't know, whenever, but they haven't been touring or doing concerts for a while. And they were last night in a particular location in San Diego for the purpose of raising some funds for a studio that Blake and Jordan are dreaming about building here at Cross Point for our community, a sound studio, recording studio. And so, but it was so fun last night just to go, and Mark and Jess, where are you guys? Mark and Jess. I had no idea when they were promoting the concert that Tea Garden was you. I had no idea. I'm like, what are they doing here, man? Like, I know they love Blake, but they're here to, like, you know, but they were the opening act last night, and you guys were so good. I so enjoyed it. It was so much fun. And so for hours I was there, and when Blake and Jordan and the group got up, man, I just kind of went a little bit nuts and on the side, and it was already, air conditioning was really low, and I just screamed like, ah! You know, I put on my young self in the midst of a very young crowd, and they're probably thinking, who's the grandpa, the loud grandpa over in the corner? It was me. So my voice a little bit shot this morning, so that's my excuse. All right. You guys good? It's been a good morning. We're just going to share a few thoughts on the topic of legacy. I think Candy really touched on it just a moment ago, that legacy is something that can be taught. A lot of times it's more experienced than taught. We're both very grateful that we had dads that were amazing. Her dad's still alive. My dad passed away many years ago, but I still miss him. There are certain times in my journey when I really wish Dad was around, you know, just to talk. You know, he was a, I'll share a little bit more in a moment about my dad, but he wasn't a personality of sorts. He wasn't, he was just a good man. And I'm gonna share that in a moment, but I want you to know that legacy is something that's intentional. And whether you're a dad this morning, or you're just a man that's yet to be married, or you're a young man that someday will be married, just hear this morning, a couple of thoughts as it relates to legacy. And we're going to end up in the book of Philippians, because it's an interesting book to think about legacy. There's all kinds of stories in the scripture that could actually paint a picture of a biblical character who led with character, who led with legacy, or even demonstrating legacy. But this morning I'm going to pull some things out in the life of Jesus. Because I feel like if we're going to model anyone's journey, Jesus is the person to model. Amen, Pastor Barry. Good, thank you. Right side over here, thank you for that. Amen. But we'll talk about legacy, living a life that lasts. Last year, I believe it was, a friend of mine invited me to be what we call a guinea pig experiment. Guinea pig. He had written a book on leadership. It was called Jailbreak Leadership. And he said, Barry, would you be willing to come over a period of time and be my guinea pig? Let me practice the principles of the book on you, and in turn, you can kind of process, you know, what's being taught, give me feedback, and you know, together we can kind of go through this process. I said, I'd be love to do that. It was a wonderful exercise of experimentation, dream casting. My brain, it went at times beyond the realm of being comfortable. He really stretched my capacity as a leader, as a person. And one of the exercises that he asked me to do, required of me, was to plan my own funeral. It was kind of a weird thing. And I just kind of went, are you serious? He goes, yeah, I want you to kind of put your funeral together. It was something like this. What would I want family or close friends or colleagues to say about me at my funeral? He wanted me to write those things out in paragraph form, and I was to bring them back the next week and talk about them. Now, talk about an exercise in humility. right? I mean, who here doesn't want someone to get up in front of a crowd of people, hopefully more than two, at your passing, and talk well and speak well of you? So now you're the one that's going to speak on behalf of the people that are getting up in front talking about you. So what would you want them to say about you? It's a good exercise. I started writing down what I hope people might say about me, and I realized it wasn't as easy as I might have thought. I began to second-guess myself. I'm sure you're way different than I am, but I didn't want to sound arrogant or proud or too self-serving, but I truly wanted people to have something really nice to say about my leaving this life and going to the next. But here in this, the truth of this moment, saying nice things and pleasantries isn't always difficult at someone's passing. I've been to many funerals, I've done many funerals, where it wasn't the easiest thing to come up with positive things to say about the person who had passed. But in death, you want to highlight the good and not spend time on the bad, correct? Yeah? I get it. Probably the funeral talk was a little too heavy for you guys this morning, but... But what is we... But when we look at what we're going to leave for the next generation, when we look at the facts of our lives, it is a great question this morning, gentlemen. What is it that you and I are going to leave behind? When I wrote down these thoughts, I had certain people in mind, and I've never shared those thoughts with these individuals, but my hope is that what I wrote down on paper was truly a part of the legacy that I will leave. I hope so. See, legacy defined, let's look at what legacy defined looks, it says. Simply put, anything handed down from the past as from an ancestor or a predecessor. Something is handed down. How many of you ever received an inheritance from someone, a parent that had passed away, and they handed something down to you through their passing? Have I received an inheritance? Yeah, we got a small inheritance from my parents when they passed away. They didn't have a lot, but they did have some money that we received. So that's the idea of legacy. It's an inheritance that is given from generation to generation. So going back to the point, what is it that we're going to believe God for as men of God, as fathers this morning? What would you like to leave as a legacy for your family? Simply put, I have to ask the question, what are we building in our lives? What is it that you're crafting by way of belief, by way of finances, by way of spiritual legacy, spiritual inheritance? What are you building right now? It's a great question, and not too late to ask, even if you're just starting out, or even if you've yet to have a family or even get married. It's okay. Hi, guys. It's okay to build a legacy. There's a few places I could have gone there, but I'm not going to go. I'm not going. But what are we building this morning? I was reading a bit of the story of the founder of Chick-fil-A. Thank you, Jesus, for Chick-fil-A. Yeah. And if you don't like it, you could go to Cane's. Yeah. Anybody been to Cane's yet? Yes. Okay, a few of you have. All right. Chick-fil-A. Here, let me give you a few things about the man that founded Chick-fil-A. What a great guy he was. So I'm going to read a few thoughts to you, but they relate to this idea of what we're leaving. You know, in an age where business functioned 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, is it Kathy? Is that how they say it, or is it Cathay? Kathy, I think it's Kathy. Is a throwback to the Blue Laws era. It says this: none of his restaurants, we know, is open on Sunday. Go figure that. He believed that this provides his employees with a biblical day of rest. It's good for them, he said. Now, whether they took it or not wasn't his issue. But he established a priority that on Sunday we will not work. This will be a Sabbath for our company. Too many customers in retail food establishments often complain about indifferent employees. His whole premise was, he was a very stickler for kindness. He insisted his employees demonstrate respect for customers. and show appreciation for their going to his restaurants and eating his food because it was said it was good for business. He said, it doesn't cost you any more to be gracious in a service industry, but it sure pays great dividends. Kathy was not just a chicken tycoon. However, in an article by World Magazine, they said this. He was the poster boy for selflessness and integrity. He told Philanthropy Magazine, my wife and I were brought up to believe that the more you give, the more you have. Few people actually believe in this, but we do, he said. The article continues. He said, Kathy's wealth, while considerable in dollars, is defined by non-material standards. This includes the $18 million his WinShare Foundation spent just last year when the article was written on foster homes, college scholarships, a summer camp, and marriage counseling programs. Marriage counseling, they ask. Kathy believed a stable home is foundational or fundamental to bringing up stable children. For those children damaged by broken family ties, Kathy's foundation operates a dozen homes headed by husband and wife teams. The goal is to provide a loving, nurturing home to those children who are victims of circumstances and need a stable, secure family environment in which to grow and mature. The homes accept boys and girls between the ages of 6 and 13. They can accommodate as many as 12 children at a time. A couple more things. At the time of the writing of this article quoted above, Kathy was known as a grandfather to more than 100 of those children that were in his foster homes. Did you catch that? 100 children called him grandpa that went through the foster homes that he provided. That's what we're talking about as family around here. To be a father and a mother and a grandfather and a grandmother to a generation that needs to know what we know, to impart the knowledge that we have as sons and daughters, to love a generation that feels unloved or unaccepted, to be able to invest in them in such a way that they grow up knowing the love of the Father like we know in this room. Yeah. And if that guy was still alive, I'd high-five this man because I really honor what I read about him. A couple more things. That's enough. Now that's a legacy. He's passed on now. Still closed on Sundays, still doing their foster homes, still the mom and the dad that lead those foster homes, still raising up sons and daughters that his legacy is remaining after he's passed away. That's legacy. That's the releasing of a life to the next generation. Not living only for the ability to make money and to become one of the largest chicken food chains in the nation, but to be able to take what he's earned, not just financially, but relationally, spiritually, and give that to the next generation is true legacy. What will we leave the next generation? What will we leave? And I've got to tell you that in just a moment, I want to touch on this. It's not just simply leaving a legacy, it's living a legacy right now. You can't start thinking about your legacy when you die. Duh. Right? You have to start thinking about living it right now. You are kind of quiet this morning. Must have been that death thing. Philippians chapter 4 says something. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, we call that Irene in the original language, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, here's what I think a man like Kathy would say to us today. Finally, my friends, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there be any excellence, if there be anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Could we suggest this morning that if we are willing to practice the things of the scriptures, to be moms and dads that impart an inheritance to the next generation that will take what we've carried to the next place? Can we believe that if we will practice these things, the Bible says what? The peace of God will be with us. How many families today are in chaos? How many families today in America have no peace in their home because they don't understand even what we understand here this morning? We serve a God of peace. We serve a God of love. We serve a God of acceptance. We serve a God that wants us to carry the light to a generation and not just carry it, live it, and then leave it for the next generation. I'm grateful for my parents. I'm grateful that mom and dad left me something, not just in a way of finances, but in the way of a legacy, an inheritance, a heritage of kingdom. I don't mention my father every single Father's Day, but I want to share with you real quickly about my father and how he poured into my own legacy as my dad. I've mentioned maybe a few times before, but my dad was a World War II vet. I'm very proud of that. He grew up moving from town to town, small town to small town in the Midwest as my grandfather, his dad, would start a church in a storefront, get it up to a good 15 to 20 people, maybe 25, and say, we've done our job, let's move to the next place. So my dad grew up in an environment where there wasn't a lot of stability. At an early age, my dad was very discontent and happy with the lifestyle of moving from city to city and ended up moving in with his only sister and brother-in-law, who wasn't a whole lot older than he was. At an early age, Dad was living on his own and making decisions about his future. He told me stories of what it was like living during the Depression era and not having a whole lot in which to live. All these experiences actually formed and forged my dad into the man that he was and the legacy he left me and my brothers. Here are some of the special things that my dad imparted to me that I believe I carry today and want to impart to my kids. Dad inspired in me a hard work ethic. There was never a day that my dad really didn't work and provide for us as his family. He was an extremely loyal friend. I consider myself very loyal to my friends. My dad had one wife. You understand what that means? My dad and mom never divorced. They lived, I forget how many years before they passed, 40 years? I don't remember. Long time before they both passed away within 2 years of each other. He was trustworthy. He was honorable. Every church we ever attended, my dad would not by choice become friends with the pastor, but the pastor would always find my dad and begin to look to him as a confidant and someone he could talk to. Dad taught me how to pray at an altar. I shared this before, but I remember in a similar building like this, growing up in Orange County, Costa Mesa, a little church called Harbor Assembly of God. I can still remember this building a little bit more narrow than this, but two sections with a center aisle. Dad, mom, like so many of us in the room, find our spot. They sat in the same spot every Sunday within a row or two of each other. Right, Clifford? And is your name etched on that chair yet? I know I told him put your... I was kidding. I can remember often on Sundays, an altar call would be given morning or night or both. My dad would walk down the center or the side aisle next to a wall like this. And a little bit different, but very similar. He'd walk down and there were stairs almost identical to this. Of course, back in the day, the piano and organ were right next to each other usually. And dad would just kind of find his spot over here and sit down, and bury his head in his hands, and just begin to cry out to God. I can't tell you how many times I'd follow my dad into that spot as a little boy. Just kneel down next to him. I don't know what he was praying. I don't know what was on his heart. But I know this. He was praying to his friend. He's spending time with God. I love the altars. I love the altars. Over the years, we have been a congregation that has believed in and still do that the altar is a very precious thing. And I'm grateful for the inheritance that my father, my mother, demonstrated the importance of prayer at an altar in a church. Dad taught me how to laugh, what it means to serve in a local church and be faithful. So many things my dad handed down to me because of the life that he led. See, my father could have allowed what wasn't his to be inherited, if you will, but to form him into a bitter, angry, maybe even alcohol-driven man. Because of the circumstances of his life, he could have chose that path, but he didn't. You see, he lived with what was in his hand. He didn't try to grab someone else's choice, whatever. He just lived by what was given to him in his hand and worked hard with the things he was given. What is in your hand this morning, man of God? What is in your hand, Dad? What is in your hand, Grandpa? What is in your hand? Whatever's in your hand, I encourage you this morning, build with it. Use it to establish a legacy. Use it for the good of your marriage. Use it for the good of your family. Use it for the good of the world. Fight for leaving something that is bigger than you and your current circumstances. Now, and know that God wants to use you and your family dynamic to release to the next generation a godly inheritance. I want my kids to not just live on what I did, but I want them to stand on my shoulders and take the goodness of God and revival and reformation to the places that I could never go, to the people I could never. Last night, those were not my peeps. Those aren't the people I hang with. But my son Blake and Jordan and certain others, they've got a circle of influence in that industry. And I say, God, use them to touch the industry. Use them to touch the scribes in the music industry. Use them to release a sound. Use them to demonstrate God's goodness and his kindness. And whenever they lead, you say, well, it's a secular environment. What are we called to? You've been hearing my message for a long time. We're called to the one. We're called to the neighbor. We're called to the people no one likes. We're called to the people no one will go to. You and I are called to the one. So go in that environment and love the one. Track down the one. Embrace the one. Love the one. And let's change the public square. Let's change the marketplace, because we understand that God is good. And he's in you. He's in me. Believe in your kids. I honor and respect my kids. There was a day when I would be completely afraid of releasing my children into the secular marketplace. Oh, I was told growing up, if you do that, your kids are going to get tainted. They're going to become just like the world. Well, listen, if they become just like everyone else, then the faith that they have for Christ and the Jesus inside of them is probably different than the one I know. Because the Bible says we're called out from amongst them. We're not to be like everyone else. We're to be the light in the midst of darkness. So if they're as dark as the culture, then the issue is not me. The issue is really their relationship with God. Did you hear what I just said? Pastor Craig spoke it well last week. I can't be codependent to bring my kids into what I think they should be. I got to release them to Jesus and let them become the sons and daughters on their own that God's called them to be. Not my responsibility any longer. I'm going to love them. I'm going to be there. I'm going to support them. I'm going to lose my voice over it. I'm not afraid. I don't care anymore. There was a day when people would see me maybe go into the soda bar and go, what are you doing in the soda bar? I'm here drinking soda, watching my kids play in a band. If you have a problem with that, then so I want to leave you with this. There's a couple things to think about when it comes to this idea of legacy. Look at Jesus real quick, chapter 2 of Philippians. We define legacy. We know every man leaves a legacy. The question will become is, what kind of legacy are you building and are going to leave? First thing we need to look at is Jesus' legacy. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says something quite profound. It said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than himself. Jesus is our model. And in Philippians, the Apostle Paul was speaking to the church of Philippi. He was giving them examples of how they were to live and certain characteristics that they were to have. He explained the reasons we are supposed to do this, because these were the characteristics of a man named Jesus that he had in his own life as he walked the planet. They were the things that caused him to leave what he left as he walked this planet. And the first thing we find in the life of Jesus that I would suggest is the first thing that we need to talk about as men that leave legacies for our families is that of humility. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. This is the biblical definition of humility. It's the first characteristic the scripture calls to us. It's regarding one another as more important than ourselves. We live in a generation where everything's about selfies. Everything's about us. Everything seems to be about not the one and not the other, but us. It's a very self-serving generation in many ways. But what the Father's telling us today is if you're going to leave a legacy, you leave a legacy of humility. That your sons and daughters see that you're not trying to be something you're not. That our sons and daughters in your home see the same thing lived out in your home that's lived out in the public arena. Do you know how many times we've had the council people who demonstrated something up here, whatever this is right here, they demonstrated one thing only to leave this walls, only to leave this house, only to leave the building and go home and act complete opposite of what they espoused behind that pulpit. It's called hypocrisy. And then we wonder why the sons and daughters don't want to serve Jesus. I got to tell you, I know when I look at Blake, I look at Libby, I look at Lacey, I look at Chasen, I look at Mackenzie. I got to tell you something. It's not because I was a perfect dad that they've turned out the way they have. A lot of it happens, in my opinion, to be the grace and mercy of God, that when I made poor choices in my demonstrating God's goodness and as a father, that God chose either blind their eyes or they accepted my incompleteness and God's grace covered them. I'm convinced of that, and I'm convinced of you, moms and dads, that God's grace covers when we make poor decisions. He gives us mercy to start over, start fresh. I'm grateful for that. It'd be a little awkward for me to say how humble I am this morning. So I will. No, I was kidding. But I say this with respect to the moment. That there's a couple of groups I hang with, and one of the things that they have indicated to me when I was going through some training and just kind of hanging with this small group of leaders, they said, you know, one of the things we love about you is you seem super humble. And that's a really awkward thing because I don't think of myself that way. But maybe that's why they're saying it, because I don't think of myself that way. See, Jesus was the perfect example of humility. Selfish ambition has no place in the life of a family, in the life of a church, and I'll even go so far as to say in the life of a culture. We've seen it here. Selfish ambition's almost ruined our congregation and families a few times because the ambition was greater than the humility. They wanted position. They wanted power. They wanted to be known as something that they weren't, and whatever the cost, they would go after that just so they can build their own platform. Well, I have news for you today. I'd rather have a congregation of hungry hearts to understand who they are in Jesus and are willing to impart to the next generation and give that next generation an opportunity to spread their wings and fly than to be somebody we're not and to try and put wind in somebody's sails that have no business putting wind in their sails because it's all about selfish ambition. Just getting preaching now. Whew. Second quality, so humility. Second quality I think you can find in the life of Jesus out of Philippians is this. Care for others. See, there's not a lot of rocket science here. I mean, it's not like you need 15 points to figure out how to impart legacy. Be humble. Care for others. Kind of what Jesus did. Think about this. Look what it says in Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. How we hate doing that. See, when we raise our sons and daughters, you have to think about them more than others at times. You have to esteem others sometimes above your own interests. You have to. Because it's a quality of the kingdom. See, men, the second characteristic is don't just care for what you want in your personal journey and your ambitions and your monetary or materialistic things that you want. Begin to think about what it is that you need to invest in your kids. What is it I need to invest in my children to help them walk in the ways of the kingdom, to become young men? And listen, I don't want them to wait until they're 17, 18, 19 to come to Jesus. Let's believe from the moment they understand the love of God, they say yes to him and never depart from his ways. You know how we do that? As a family, we look at one another's other interest. We don't look just at ourselves, but we look to the interest of others. We begin to esteem one another higher than ourselves. We begin to demonstrate a kingdom principle that says, my kids might be okay right now, but I need to demonstrate the love of the Father to this generation or this person over here, or this person needs my help. Hear what I'm trying to say as it relates to caring for one another. Life is busy. Hard work is required. But the reality is, we have got to look to the interests of others. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom. Jesus could have said, I've come that you might serve me and probably have eternal life. Come. He could have done that. He was the Son of God, but he didn't. He came and he said, No. I haven't come to be worshiped. I've come to love. I've come to serve. I don't know about you, but if our kids are raised into anything, I'd love for them to be raised into, and I hope we've demonstrated a bit of that in the Sappington household, that we walk humble and we care for others. I got a feeling if we live those two things, those two characteristics out well, I think our kids are going to be okay. If we can practice love in a family like this well, I think our kids are going to be okay. When they see that when there's problems in the church, we don't just cast them off and put them under the carpet and hope they go away, but we deal with them biblically, Matthew 18, right? I think our sons and daughters are going to be okay. When they see that love covers a multitude of sins, but in the midst of covering, love covering, we actually are willing to walk out life with people. We're willing to walk out those things that kind of hiccup us. I think our kids are going to be okay. When we understand that there'll be a day when we'll say farewell to this life. Hopefully it'll be a long life. Hopefully we'll die in our elder years and we can look back and go, thank you, Father, for the years. You know, Michael and Annie are walking through a very difficult time right now with Michael's father, 91 years old, and just struggling physically. We've talked with Michael about just the feeling of that tension between knowing your father is probably not going to be around a lot longer, and the things that you are going to have to do, but also the things that are being passed on. It's not an easy life, but we hope that when we leave this life, we've left something that our children can build on, and that something our children can build on is something that they can use to expand the kingdom in the world in which we live. Jesus' example in Philippians 2:5 said, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. As men, as fathers, if we're going to walk in humility, don't look back or don't look just to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. And why did Jesus live out these principles? Philippians 2:6-11. Here's why he did it. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself. Emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's a man who left a legacy. Jesus was a man who didn't live for himself. He lived for the benefit of others. The glory of God and his legacy, Jesus' legacy, will be seen and felt forever. At the end of our lives, there's only one thing that's going to live beyond you. It's what we've done for Jesus in the here and now and what we leave to our children. What legacy are we leaving? It's a good question. Father, I pray this morning that as we activate fathers and men really into a lifestyle of legacy development and a legacy release, I pray by faith they would step into the new, walking from the old. I pray, Holy Spirit, that your goodness and kindness will continue to remind us that we're not perfect, but it's important that we understand that we will leave something behind. When I did the exercise about my own funeral service, God, there were some things I wrote down that I'm not quite certain yet would be said of me. So I have some work to do until the day you choose to take me home. But God, until that day, I want to live as a man that walks humble, a man that serves well others, and one that recognizes that greater are you that's within me than the spirit of the evil one that's in the world. So I thank you, God,